and be talking about fear, whether it's good or bad. And before we get started, how would you lead us to
Father in heaven, because I pray, Father, for genuine wisdom and knowing how to live without fear that pops up in our life. That's the truth of your son.
Amen.
All right, to get us started, I want to look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. And fear is mentioned in this passage four times. 1 John 4:18 reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." This morning, we're going to look at a bunch of passages that show us why we must overcome fear. We're going to look at some Bible characters who struggled with fear. Look at consequences they faced because of fear. And we'll look at how to overcome fear. Before we get there, let's look at what the different types of fear are that we see addressed in the Bible. Before I do that, let's ask the question, is fear good or bad? Any other kind of fear? Everybody, so fear can be good. And we'll definitely see that. Matthew said, if the fear is coming out of selfishness, that is definitely not good. But a godly. So on the positive side, the Bible teaches us to fear God. I'm going to turn to Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 to 14. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. This type of fear involves respect, honor, reverence. This type of fear will lead us to do God's will. If you look at Noah 11:7, this is a section that talks about faith, but this passage tells us something about fear. By faith, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructing an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And he had reverent fear. God said he would destroy the world with a great flood. The world had never seen a flood like this. This type of fear moved him to obey God, even though he had no idea what was to come. Promoted him to build the ark, to preach to people, and demonstrated his respect, honor, and reverence of God. I mean, when you think about that, Noah probably had the best workshop with the most cutting edge technology to build this massive boat, right? Tools and all the help that one can ask. Just the fact that he was able to accomplish it is credit to his faith and how awesome God is that he can make things come about through people who trust and obey him. So on the negative side, the Bible teaches us not to allow our hearts. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This type of fear involves anxiety, dread, apprehension, several others. This type of fear can control us if we don't figure out how to get it in control. If we aren't careful, it can lead us to not serve God how he would have us. We must not be confused with the type of fear that we're supposed to have that gives us caution. Caution is a good thing. We're taught to use good judgment, be cautious of situations that could be harmful. So while we're concerned with being cautious, concerned with things that we aren't sure about, we can't let that concern grow into anxiety or a fear that can keep us from doing what God would have us do. So why must we overcome exception? We're going to look at several Bible characters who struggle with fear. These people I'm going to talk about are probably the ones that jump right out at you, people who struggle with fear. The first one we're going to look at is Abraham, father of the faith. Was Abraham a fearful man?
No. Yeah.
There are a few verses here in Genesis. And we know Abraham, man of action, a faithful man. When Lot was taken prisoner, he took his men with him and went after him and rescued him. So he's not a fearful man, but we see a couple times where he demonstrated some fear. Genesis 12:13, not long after he received the promise from God and started his journey, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with you, because of you, that my life may be spared. And what did this kind of fear was this that led him to try to be deceitful? What was he fearing for his life? And let's be careful with what we do too many times, because shortly thereafter, in chapter 20, he has the same kind of thing happen. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So we see that the same kind of fear caused him to not tell the whole truth. He was his half-sister, but he was fearful for his life. And he continued to go on, and he overcame this fear. But this kind of fear does affect us today, that when we're afraid of something, we might tell a lie to lessen the effect. I mean, this kind of fear, see children use it, fear of a punishment. They might not tell you the whole truth, right? Because they think they're going to get in trouble, and if they soften the blow with the way that they talk, that punishment. But as we all know, parents do have a way of finding out the truth. Just like God has a way of finding out the truth and what's really in our hearts. So the next character, that fearful person, Moses, is the next one on my list. In Exodus 3, verse 11, Moses said to God, this is after Moses is out tending his father-in-law's sheep. Moses, in the burning bush incident. So Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel, 13, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I do to them? He's fearful, and it's causing him to give God excuses. You know, why me? What are these people going to say? He's fearful of the Egyptians, fearful of the children of Israel. Continue on to chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. They will say, the Lord did not appear to you, sent you. In verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and of tongue. So he's just continuing to give God excuses, either because he doesn't want to do this thing that God is asking him, doesn't think he can do it, or because he's afraid. And at this point, God is starting to show he's frustrated. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you. I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, O Lord, please send someone else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron your brother, the Levite? I know he continues to give excuse after excuse. We see God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to Aaron, and Aaron's people, and this happened that way for a while. Eventually, Moses overcomes his fear. Anybody have any comments on these two characters that we were looking at? I mean, I'll be honest, definitely is fearful to be up here. I've made excuses, just like Moses, as to why I'm not available to talk on occasion. But nobody's going through. And like you said, I have to overcome it. And I trust in God that, I mean, nobody's carrying a bucket of tomatoes. One of these times, Tom is going to bring some. And nothing's going to happen to us if we get up here and preach, right? Except for the person preaching is probably going to grow. Good things will probably come from it. Through continuing to test your ability to overcome fear and to get more comfortable.
I know that all God is still up to be with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I'm tracking.
And Moses, God chose the right person. He spent his first 40 years in Egypt. He was well versed in their customs. He spent 40 years in the wilderness and learned a great deal from his father-in-law and the customs of his people there, the Israelites. So he was the best candidate to handle this situation. And God knew, he just had to trust that God, right, that he could do it. Yeah, we're not perfect people. And it's something that we all have to deal with one way or another in our everyday lives. Situations can arise that we're not prepared for, and we have to figure out how to get through them. So the next person I'm going to look at is Elijah. Does he stand out as somebody who you think is a fearful person? In 1 Kings 18, we read of his victory over the 450 prophets of Baal. But not long after, in verse 19, chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, if you'd like to follow along, 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He arose, ran for his life, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness, came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." This is just coming off from a great victory, and this could happen to him. Fear caused Elijah to become despondent, hopeless, almost spread like he gave up. We know that's not his character, but these things happen. Before our example that we can learn from them and also figure out how to overcome. Another fearful person we're going to look at is Job. I would think would be fearful generally. Job's known for being patient. So let's look at a moment when he demonstrated his fear. In chapter 2, his friends come by and they sat with him for 7 days without speaking. The next chapter might be labeled in your Bible as Lamentations. Chapter 3, he lets it out. Verse 20, Job 3, 25. "For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me." So he had some kind of fear. I don't know if it was just in the back of his mind. Maybe I've been blessed so greatly. You know, I hope this doesn't come to an end. But, I mean, we see he gets his mind right and focuses back on God. But, I mean, a lot of bad things have happened to him. He lost his family, his wealth. In that chapter, he hadn't yet experienced physical pain. I've heard it said, the way that we think can sometimes affect the way things happen. If we think positive, generally positive outcomes will happen, at least in our minds, right? We have a positive attitude about things. Maybe the little things won't become big things. But our thinking affects the condition of our hearts. Job's fear looks like became a reality. The thing that he feared has come to pass. Generally, we know thinking about things is something that you have to do, that you're afraid to do, worrying about it. At least in my experience, the worry didn't really make any difference. Things generally don't turn out as bad as I can make them up in my head. And one of the ways that we can calm ourselves is when we get in these fits of fear or anxiety, we can definitely take it to God in prayer and give it to Him. Try to get out of ourselves. That's really what it is. I mean, do we worry about our kids? We should.
It's not like, oh, I lost the possibility. Yeah. That's not like that. Yeah. It could happen. But the thing is, yeah, I would say I'm broken. I'm better than that. You know, there's probably another place to go that you're trials in this great voice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. So the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though testified by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor ever over the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I think we can look at those bad things and we can think positively from the standpoint of not that there is no consequence, but we're going to be better because we're going to learn that, yeah, we can deal with these situations that are not comfortable, that are, you know, like even you know, difficult, challenging, sad, terrible, whatever it might be. But we can be better. We're in the sort of God that
I mean, we see Paul did that in prison and singing, rejoicing. And that's our goal, right? Like, when things are as bad as they can get, still be positive, because we know.
That's not real. That's not what God says.
No, I mean, you can do a lot with the way you're thinking, though. You can put yourself into a depressed state. I'm going to brush over a couple more options. There are a couple more characters in the Bible a little quicker. And then look at what we've kind of been talking about along with how to overcome fear. Peter and Matthew 14:30, Matthew 26:69-75, he demonstrated fear that caused him to sink in the water when he was walking out to Jesus. And in the latter section, we see that his fear caused him to deny Jesus, not once or twice, but, you know, three times, a little bit about that. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him and said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know what you mean." And after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know what you mean." Immediately the rooster crowed. Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and wept bitterly. And we can see that he overcomes this fear, but a strong thing when you think your life is going to come to an end, that's one of the things we're called to do, is to stay true to Jesus and what we believe, regardless of what happens to us. It's a lot easier on paper and talking here with you guys, but pray that we would all make it right. The next one is the one talent man, Matthew 25:24-25. His fear prevented from using what the master had given him. He, instead of investing it or making the talent grow, he hid it because he feared his master punish him. You know, that he was a hard man, not reaping. We're all familiar with that story. So we've seen a little bit through these Bible characters that shows us that fear happens, and everybody shows us the importance of why we must overcome fear. So let us go to the next section here and figure out how to overcome. We must remember that the Lord forbids and wants us to overcome it. Sometimes we just have to remember God said so. You have to do this thing, regardless of if you want to or not. You don't think you can. We gotta figure out how to serve God the way he wants us to. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, read that fear does not come from God. Fear does not come from God. If it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? The kind that would keep us from serving. We must resist the devil and he will flee from us. Satan uses fear as an effective tool to keep us from being what God would have us to be, serving God the way he wants us. Remember, we must remember what will happen to the fearful. Let's look at Revelation 21, verse 8. This is a list of people who take their part in fire. 21:8 reads, "But as for the faithless, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire, which is the second death. Faithless, the detestable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, those are all bad things, but cowardly or fearful is first on the list. That way for a reason, but just as bad as being all these other things in God's eyes. We must place our trust in God, especially when it comes to things that are on. We can look at the example of Noah. He trusted God that he was for a purpose, that it would save his family, though he didn't know what a flood was. He obeyed completely. He was saved because of that. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So we must place our trust in God, and do not lean on your own understanding. Again, don't be looking to yourself for the answers. We look to God to help us through the situation. He will make your path straight. Matthew 6:34. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We must live one day at a time. Think about yesterday too much, or think about the future too much. We're going to mess up today. Going back to the first passage we read this morning, 1 John 4:18, let's fill our hearts with love. No fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. And it's interesting if you change the words around a little bit. Perfect fear, we cast out love. The word to have perfect love that we cast out fear. To wrap things up, we're going to look at David. We know from his life, he faced many troubling times, fearful situations. The verses are in Psalms 56, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly, but I am afraid." So it shows he's definitely fearing for his life. People are out to get him all the time, and to overcome fear, David places his trust in God. "When I am afraid," in verse 3, "I put my trust in you." He knows where to go, who to look to, when he's feeling this way. If we jump over to Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David is always mindful of God's presence. We all will face many situations that challenge us. We all know that we should be cautious about things in life. We must not allow the fear to get the best of us. As I said before, Satan uses fear as a tool to keep us from being all that God would have us. We must overcome it. To do so, we have God and we go to him. We know that we can't overcome. That's all I have. Does anybody have anything they would like to add?
So, that's a guy by Goliath. Saul should, and the best Saul can do is, here today, use my armor. You don't know who.
Yeah.
And that's all, Saul should have been died, or at least a guy. Right.
David's an excellent example. Read that. He was after God's own heart, and he would do all of God's will. we just read that last night in our Peter's or Paul study that we're doing. So even being after God's own heart, he still had fear, but he didn't let fear control him. He went to God and he trusted in God that things would be all right one way or another, but we're supposed to work for it, to have the same kind of love. I appreciate everybody's participation.